الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to the fifth aspect of making our roza a perfect and a roza which is called really a roza and which in turn will change our lives around, and we who are upside down, we will come downside up, we will come up the right side if we spend our Ramadan properly and we achieve this. So as far as eating, we spoke about eating, the choice of food, we must be very particular, it must be halal also, it must be tayyib also. That means it must be, there must be no doubt in it. Today with regard to that, we should be careful. It's not only the meat stuff, but when today it's so easy, and Allah, we might not all agree to it, but the fact is Allah has given so much wealth to every person. Before, we are living, the poor person lives how the rich did not even live before. Today even the poor person got a TV, and it is some muftis also, as they say, is a necessity of life. Where can a TV be a necessity of life? Even the poor got TVs. What kind of life they got? Before there was nothing like this here, that the rich couldn't even live how the poor are living today. Today the earth, as one of the signs of Qiyamah, will start spitting out its wealth and its riches, how we are living. So today a person goes for shopping in a supermarket and just whatever he feels like, takes from the shelf, puts it in. At the end he pays with a check, with a credit card, cash, whatever. But we must be careful what we are taking. Today is a time, one person came to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali and said that, see, the food I eat, I only eat 100% halal. So Hazrat informed somebody, tell him to go outside where this wild figs grow. He must eat that. Because it's so difficult that if you want to eat 100% halal in these times, that you must just live on fruit and just water. Bhai Abdul Wahab of Raiwin said, if a person wants to stay away from interest 100%, he must eat the leaves of trees. Today times have become, our transactions are such, and what is mixed in almost anything. We will be surprised that even dental floss, they also they put something in. How many things, but we must take our precaution. We are responsible, and that is what is called taqwa, to take your precautions. In this time it will be practically a difficult 100%, but a person must take all his full precautions. Don't become lax in this matter, because the effect of food has got a direct effect on everything of ours. So we should be very, very careful. In fact, Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali has written that food, by that your amal are made, and that is most important. So therefore we should be careful what we are consuming today. So if we consume the right food, our akhlaq will be right, our amal will be right, everything will be right. So we must be, and in that same context, our dressing also we must see. One or two points about dressing, very common, and just because we don't know, we have not been informed, this Nike, that N-I-K-E, Nike or Nike, this is actually a Greek goddess of victory. That's why you'll find it mostly on sportswear, because every sportsman wants to be win. So that you're taking help from that Greek goddess. And it is for us to understand whether it's just written Nike or whether just the tick is there. But actually it's referring to the goddess. Now we can never imagine that a person will have the Buddha on his clothes, or he will have some Hindu idol and he'll make namaz, or even he'll just wear it. He won't tolerate the picture of it in his house also. But because we don't know, and they've camouflaged it in such a way, and from that we should understand many things which are camouflaged, don't fall into those things. For example, writing on clothing, if we don't know the meaning, avoid it. You don't know what it means. Like, for example, the motor car Alfa Romeo, its emblem is very, very sinister. Or Manchester United, the sports club of England. There is Satanism in all this. So if you don't know, stay away from it. Only do it just like Taoist. Don't use that Taoist where the words or the meaning of the words are not known. Where the meanings are clear, it's from Quran, Hadith, such Taoist is permissible. But some other words that are used and you don't know the meaning, it can be Satanism. So we should be very careful. So this Nike, we have many people on the hat, like for winter we wear, it's on the most common, it is on the shoes, it is on the sandals, many other places. So we should try and be aware of this and avoid bringing these type of things. At some time in the past, I used to make Jummah namaz in Krukasdok town. On one Jummah, I gave bayan on clothing, the importance of wearing correct clothing, etc. One person, senior person, passed away, Allah grant him Jannah. He came to me and he said, please repeat your bayan next week again. So I asked him why. So he says that at that time, that was the apartheid time, when in Krukasdok town there were hardly any Muslims left, all had come to Azadwal. Only for shops they used to go there. And no people were living there, Muslim people. So on a Saturday after for Zuhr namaz, one person made namaz, no imam also, because the musallis, there were so few. So one person went forward and he made, and on his t-shirt at the back was a picture of a naked woman. And he's making imamat with that. Not even he took the jubba and to cover it, just like that openly. So this, when we don't become conscious, we fall into such things that now we make so lot of sores and we feel so remorseful about it. But these things then become common. So it is very important. The clothing also has an effect on a person. So with regard to food further, where we ended off yesterday, one father made wasiyat, advice, parting advice to his son. He told him, see, you must go to work only in the shade. You must go to work and come back from work only in the shade. The second point, he said, you must eat only the most delicious, the best food. And the third, he told him, every year you must make a new nikah. So these three advices he gave him. So the first advice, he built a covering from his house to the factory, to the shop, wherever the business was. And he used to go to work 10, 11 o'clock, come back 3, 4 o'clock. He said, my father said, you must come back in the shade. So, and he told his wife, see, you must only cook the most delicious food every meal. Because my father's wasiyat. That also he did. Now the third point, he had a problem. And he make a new nikah every year. Now he couldn't understand this, and because he loved his wife also, and make a new nikah every year. So he asked the father's secretary, who was for years with the father, and who knew the father. So he told, my father made these three wasiyats, advices he gave me. I made amal on the two, but the third one I don't understand. Please help me. So he said, you didn't understand one also. What he said, you must go in the shade early in the morning, before the sun rise. And you must come back late. You must work hard. Don't be like a lazy. And come back after sunset. So what this, you made the shade and you're going 10 o'clock and you're coming back 3 o'clock. You didn't understand at all what your father told. The second, the most delicious food, he meant you must eat when you are really hungry. That is when the food, no matter what food it is, it will be very delicious. And on a full stomach, you can put the best food. One place we were on safar for breakfast, 10 o'clock, we finished with breakfast. Then they said, we're going now next place. The family asked them, where are we going now? We're going for lunch now, before Zohar. Now after a heavy breakfast, you don't even want to look at that food. But when you are nice and hungry, that is when you enjoy food. And on this point, our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, Rahimahullah, explained a very beautiful point also of how to safeguard our gazes. Hazrat said that if it's a poor person and he goes to work, And because he's a poor person, his lunch he takes with very simple food also, dar, sandwiches, jam and bread, something very simple. But at work now, there are other people who are well off also, they take out their lunch. Now somebody takes out biryani, somebody takes out shami kebab, somebody takes out roast. Now he's even shy to take out his lunch. And that smell of the biryani starts coming, they warming the kebabs, that smell starts coming. So now he feels, what I'm going to eat my lunch. Let me go there. He makes excuse, he asks them time or something. And then they offer him, come eat with us. So he eats. And nice, delicious food. So he overeats also. Now he's overfull when he goes home. Poor people, wife got the same thing at home also. Same dal, roti, whatever, some simple food. Now he doesn't feel like, now he finds fault in everything. That is a way man, when he starts finding fault. This is not right, this is not right. All other faults, the children, you didn't wash them, you didn't put on their clean clothes. Now, but if he was hungry, quietly he should sit down and eat. Just like that, a person who goes to work, who goes in the outside world, and he feeds his eyes with all the other filthy, dirty women of the street, and he's full now. Because Allah has made a natural desire of all the natural desires of a man, Allah has made it, and a person has to satisfy them. So if he's satisfying them looking at all the other women, when he comes home, his wife doesn't appear beautiful to him. Now he starts finding fault with her. Now the fight starts. But if he didn't look at any woman, that desires, that hunger, that thirst for that looking at a woman should be there. And wallah, such a person, Allah makes his wife look not like Miss World, but the most beautiful Hurul Een in this world. Allah makes his wife look like that. And his life with his wife, enjoyment. He becomes like a slave to her. They live happily with one another. This is when we look after our eyes. So from food also, if we don't eat excessively, then whatever food will be presented, we will appreciate and we'll make shukr. Now came the third point, must get married once every year. And for us perhaps it's once a month or once a week. That is, the father meant that you must only have sexual relations with your wife occasionally. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, your halal wife also, don't make a halal all the time. So if you will, you will space it out. If you can, once a year, what to say. And then you will enjoy. How you will enjoy. Otherwise, once a month. Otherwise, once a week. A new marriage is different, but afterwards. But just to get indulged all the time, that is also not correct. You weaken, especially a person who is a salik, a person who is a student, an alim, and people who need, and your brain needs lot of this food, vitamins. And by this semen going out of the body every now and then, it takes a lot of blood to prepare this. So 140 drops of blood make one drop of semen. And to make that food, and today when we are eating junk food, then where can even blood be made? Quality blood also. And then you don't have that strength within you. Such a person can't enjoy du'as, he can't enjoy tilaw, concentration in namaz, concentration in anything. Today a common thing, we can't concentrate because your mind is weak. The type of food and whatever little has been accumulated, you intend take it out and destroy it somewhere else. So a person who stays even with his halal wife, what his wife also is, this doesn't indulge all the time in sex, etc., that person will have strength. His thinking will also be strong. Otherwise today our thinking is also, because the brains are weak. Our thinking is weak. Our reasoning is weak. Our comprehending is weak. Everything, because we're destroying our. And today the whole world is made that you'll see advertisement, just do it. You must, whatever you want to do, just do it. A young man with masturbation, otherwise grow older with haram, adultery, fornication, all this fantasizing, etc. We have destroyed, and we can't understand the huffaz that were born of. Forget, half is a Quran, half is a hadith. Who knew 100,000 hadith of? We can't today, we think it's a mirth, the memory of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah. The memory of Imam Tirmizi, rahmatullah. Imam Tirmizi was going for Hajj rahmatullah alayh, and at one point, his old age, he had lost his eyesight, he lowered his head. So the people asked why. He said, there's a branch here that comes across the road, and if you don't lower, your head will hit into the branch. So they said, there's no branch here. He stopped the journey. He said, make tahqiq. That wasn't there a branch which they might have cut off later. If there wasn't a branch ever, I won't narrate hadith anymore. My memory is now has failed me. I won't narrate hadith anymore. When they found out, there was a branch exactly at that point. So these people, and this all the essence, Islam is a mercy. Suluk and Islah is a great mercy of Allah. Our Shaykh who has taught us to safeguard our eyes, then you safeguard your heart, then you safeguard your mind, you safeguard your body, then we will know what it is to be a man, which the Quran speaks about Rijal, not man of steel, not man of iron, man of iman. La tulhihim tijaratu wa la bay'un an dhikrillah. Business and all these worldly things, amusements, they doesn't beguile them, doesn't turn them one bit from the zikr, the remembrance of Allah. Wa iqami salah, wa ita'i zakah. Then you can understand iqamati salah, what the namazes are. So this all we ask for the solution, and we expect it's just some reading to do. Many people ask also, give us some reading to concentrate. It's not just one reading, it's a whole long process. So our food is also very, very important to see what we eat. And then to safeguard that energy that has been built, it is very important to safeguard it. So that is very important. So the third advice the father gave him, have relations with your wife also once a year. And that was how people were before. But today we can't understand that. Today is a different today. On the cell phone, everyone must just be talking. The whole industry is such, free calls from midnight to 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever. So whole night also you must stay awake. Cheaper calls this time. So all the time the whole world's focus is talk, talk, talk. And for small children and women, chew, chew, chew. Hey, the bubble gum, the chappies, all the whole world over. You just see the children, their mouths are just moving. And the other people, earphones in the ears. All the time. If they're listening Quran, mashallah, but what's it? Music. All, mostly what is it? All this music. And how much of Satanism in this music. And with this music, that loud, loud music. Sometimes the car next to you, the whole car is also shaking. So loud that music is. And some places, the whole night you sleep, and the neighbors, they got this music on. And the whole night, that music. Well, if this is not really Jahannam, what is it? Actual Jahannam. But they are living in that. And they are proud about it, how Shaitan has beguiled and misled them in all these things. A cow also chews, but the cow makes milk after all. And this chewing, what you get out of it? But the whole world today is just gone into that type of a life. So with regard to food further, one very, very important aspect which we all take for granted, but really check ourselves and we'll find we are almost 100% neglectful. We don't read Bismillah before eating. When we make iftari also, and a person realizes it, the next brother is a mirror to you. Your own you don't understand. And you don't, we are all in a state of denial. If we ask anyone, you read Bismillah? Of course I read Bismillah. Once we were in one country, and we were having a program for the ulama, and it was upstairs, the first floor of the masjid. So we all walked up, after Asr, when we sat down, so I asked all who were present, quite a few ulama, that what is it sunnah to read when we climb, go up? Now also if I ask, it will come loudly, Allahu Akbar. So I asked, who read it? Then there was a complete silence. The deafening silence. This is like the Bismillah also. If we really check, we will see that we are not reading Bismillah. We are thinking, I read. But in actual fact, and Alhamdulillah, few people, very few, perhaps I can count on my fingers, they phoned back, they wrote back, they say, we realize really what you said. We thought we are reading, but we are not reading. So to what you do is look at the next person. You'll see he's not reading, then think, did I read also? If you think about yourself, you take it for granted. And many times when I ask some friends also, you read Bismillah? Yes. But I was watching you, I didn't see your lips move also anywhere. I read in my heart. But for eating, you don't eat with your heart. Then you eat with your mouth and the sounds also come properly. Enough sounds come. But for Bismillah, then you got so much of ikhlas that nobody must know I read Bismillah. And really, the food is halal. If you halal, food is halal. But Bismillah, in a sense, makes it halal. In the name of Allah who gave it to us. And we are eating. And the barakat, when we say Bismillah, we cannot imagine. So we should make a habit. I've also noticed people who make tahqeeq, where Bismillah comes mainly in the hadith. Bismillah wa ala barakatillah, Bismillah wa barakatillah. Lot of tahqeeq is also made, but not Bismillah is read, not Bismillah wa ala barakatillah is read, not Bismillah but anything is read. We should try and read Bismillah. It's very, very important. Wash our hands and read Bismillah. Many adab are known, they are discussed also. I'm just discussing a few others. Then our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Jazahumullah Khair, a person can become an arif of Allah, not with any other thing, but with the food that we eat. Hadrat says that Allah, in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, then comes وَشْكُرُولِي أَشْكُرْكُمْ. First make zikr, remember me. And so when the food comes, just remember Allah Ta'ala. That what the one is to read Bismillah, but briefly, think in your mind that from where did this food come? This one plate of biryani, for example. There is rice in there which came from Pakistan, basmati rice, for example. There is chicken in there, or there is mutton that came from the Karoo. Then there is butter was used, the ghee butter that came from Australian butter. Then zafran they put from Spain. The spices they put from Zanzibar, from Malawi, from whichever other country. So how many different countries' things, the whole world's things, Allah has put for you in a plate. And so you should think that my Allah, and remember also, dana dane par khane wale ka naam likha hota hai, aur qatre qatre par peene wale ka naam likha hota hai. On every drop of water which you get, every grain of rice, whatever, it is meant for you. Allah send it for you. We speak of the infrastructure of a country, in the factory, how things are organized. But all this, even the government's infrastructure, even that factory, it is from Allah Ta'ala. And for this food to come to you, it is Allah's work that from around the food, around the world, that food has come to you. So a person should briefly think. Now if you think a little bit more, which we should refresh our minds from time to time, that rice that grew in Pakistan, for example, for it to grow, ground was necessary. We make qadr of the ground. If there wasn't ground, then how should the rice grow? There was a little comic strip when we were small, we read that a person went to one of the planets, and there everything gold. And this person went and visit him. So he thought, I'll take gold for him. So that person said, what must I do with gold? I'm dying hungry here. With all this gold, what must I do? If you should bring me a bag of ground, of sand, I could plant some wheat, some things, and there I could eat. We all want to have all the gold. One person said it very beautifully. I wish and I make dua that every person must become the richest man, must have everything what he wants. Then all will realize this is not what life is about. Just having money and all that is not what life. We are totally fooled with this thing. Everyone, I must become more rich, I must have more money, more things of this dunya. But that is not what the life is about. So if we haven't got ground, you won't eat. We can have all the gold in the world, all the what you going to do? So that ground is Allah put it. And who of us appreciates the ground? And how much in the Quran Allah explains about what the ground produces and gives us. Then after that ground, even for rice, which grows in mainly water, but that rice, the ground has to be cultivated. For that you need a tractor. And if you just think of one tractor, a tractor is not made in one factory. It is just assembled in one place. But the tires are coming from another country. The gearbox is coming from another country. The steering wheel is coming from another. Everything from all different countries. And each factory again to make whatever product they are making. How lot of work behind that also. And then after that it came, it was assembled. It came to Pakistan. We're getting Pakistani rice. So it went there. Then to purchase it. And you needed money. Then only you could purchase. And then how lot of paperwork is involved also. Then you could purchase it. To bring it to your farm, the road was necessary. If you think the history of the people who built roads, what things, what big machines are used, how lot of people who study so much, all that, then that road is made. Okay? So that whole history. Then after that, the worker who had to drive the tractor, if he had to phone the boss and tell my wife is sick, I have to take her to hospital. I can't come to work today. The tractor is standing there, brand new tractor, because the driver is not there. It can't work. Tell that driver, his whole family, everything is of his is in order. Then he'll come to work. So how lot of that is required? Then they cultivate the ground, and then after that the seeds again. The seed maker is only Allah Ta'ala, and all the farmer does is put the seed. And then he covers it, fertilizer, whatever. And if he's a Muslim, he makes dua to Allah that things must grow now. Now it's totally, how much was outwardly within his hands he has done. Now it's only in Allah's work, who is Rabbul Falaq, who makes the seed split apart. And then the shoot comes out. It is only the work of Allah Ta'ala. If he's a non-Muslim, he will say, I cross my fingers and I'm waiting that things, rains must come, etc. When it has grown, you need the people to pick it. How many people? And if everyone is in order, then only can they come to work. Then you needed to put it into bags. The bag people who make bags, what a big industry of it. You had to put it on trucks. What a big industry again. Then it was transported by ship. You had to take it to the docks. The cranes that are working there. The computer work that, the paperwork that has to be done. How many things there? Then it was loaded onto the ship. The ship again, the people who build the ships, and that's not one industry, billions of industries in one industry. Then it came to our country, Durban, wherever. All that whole process again, it went to the warehouse. They did the packing again in big bags, in small plastic packets, different sizes. It went to the supermarkets. You went and buy 1 kilo of rice, and whatever price, can you ever pay 1 billionth of all this? Therefore it comes in the hadith, the dua of one of the duas after eating, min ghayri hawli minni wala quwwa, with no effort from my side. Your 10 rand what you paid for a kilo of rice, whatever price, it can never pay for 1 grain of rice. So think of Allah Ta'ala. When the Asian Indian Muslims came to South Africa first, now it's about 150 years ago or so, at the beginning were only males who came, men. And they used to, most of their work was hawking. They should go to the farms, the white people's farms, and they should go sell their wares there. And on a Wednesday was a public holiday, and they should come back to Joburg again, Johannesburg, and they should buy their wares for the next week again. And there weren't women worth, so there was one Bismillah restaurant, which is still today, in Diagonal Street in Johannesburg. And the owner's name also somebody told me, I forgot. But anyway, he had a rule that on a Wednesday he would cook biryani, because all whole week they didn't eat, only some tea and coffee and bread. Now they look forward to a meal, he should prepare biryani. And in those days he should charge 1 shilling per person to come and eat. But you could eat as much as you want to. And 1 shilling was about 1 rand, say today. In those times things were cheap. So he should charge 1 shilling. So one person came, and what a name also, Ismail Amto. His name also is such Amto. He's just like a bekar, useless person. So he came and he ate 10 plates of biryani. So the owner of the restaurant gave him his 1 shilling back again. He says, yes, your shilling, but aaj pachi, tumhara mari restaurant ma, paacho na khaoto. Don't you ever come back to my restaurant again. So whether you ate 10 plates of biryani or what, but think who sent it for you. Similarly, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explains that you are a first time father and your baby comes in your hand, how happy don't you feel? Or you first time grandfather and your grandchild and grandchildren are more dear than your own children also. Right? So your grandchild come, you want to kiss the child, you want to lick the child, you want to eat up the whole child. No problem. But first thing, these two little lips, who made them? The two little small eyes, and who did the fitting and that? The small little nose, how beautiful. The cheek, so beautiful. You want to cuddle the child. You don't want the child to be taken away from you. But think, who made the child? And where did Allah make the child? In the womb of the mother. According to World Health Organization, 250,000 babies are born a day in the world. So Allah's 250,000 factories are working all the time. And in that small little factory, the womb is so small. In there, Allah has made all this. And there is not an assembly plant. That there is a factory for eyes separately. And when it's time, the farishtas bring the two eyes and fit it in here. And it's not that the hands are made in another factory somewhere else. And the farishtas bring the two hands and fit them in. Everything is made there in that small little womb. And the child stays there about 9 months and 10 days. And after, for about 4 months, 10 days, roughly, for 5 months, the child is alive in that world. It's getting oxygen, it's getting food, it's getting developed, the brain is being developed, the heart is being developed, everything. Whose work is this? So when you see your little baby, think of Allah Ta'ala. And then use the ni'mat also. Your food, now don't, you go such a long way. One time, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave a bayan in which he explained that a person will never face need as far as money is concerned if he observes two principles. One is, he must not be extravagant. The other, he must not be stingy. And live within your means. If a person, and in detail Hazrat explained, and in that he gave examples, like for example, you went to shopping, which commonly happens, you had to buy 3 items, but as you pass all the aisles, you say, this also I think I need. Now you come back with 30 items. You only went and buy 3 things, but now you come back, and if the woman go and do shopping, then it's even more. They went with a small list, and they come back with a big amount. So you buy many, and many things which we buy, which many wives are angry about their husbands, that electronic gadgets, whichever new gadget you want to buy, you use it for a day or two, or some you hardly open, and she gets so angry, I don't know for what you buy all this. And now it has to be, you don't want to be put away in the garage also. I'll use it. And 2 years have passed and you haven't opened the package also. So we buy a lot of unnecessary things. But one time, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Panandpuri Rahmatullah Ali made tashkil. One person said, from your talk and your tashkil, I'm also very eager to go, but no money. So Hazrat said, come with me, I'll show you where all the money is kept. Then Hazrat explained to him, visualize your lounge at home and your showcase that you have got there and all the ornaments which are in there and how much it works out. If you sell part of those ornaments, you'll have enough money to spend 40 days in Jamaat. So we have a lot of our money, we don't know, we are employing it in wrong places. Lot of our, if a person thinks, so a person keeps these things in mind, he will never ever be in need. If you are not extravagant, you don't waste. And you are not stingy either. You mustn't be stingy. Where it's necessary to spend, spend. That is when Allah gives barakah. If you waste, that is spending where you are not supposed to spend. Or you spend where you have to spend, but more than the amount that is required. Today, don't just clean everything. There is an article, you 50 rand, another one 80 rand, another one 100 rand. Don't just go for the 100 rand. And don't just go for the 50 rand either. See which one, the quality, which one is going to serve you the best. And according to need, then spend. So according to need, and don't be stingy, then Allah gives barakah. So one person, having heard Maulana's bayan, he was traveling by train, he came to Delhi station. And in winter especially, they sell this chana, which they keep, on the carts. And it's nice and hot chana. The fire is burning under and hot chana. So he had to buy. So he thought of Hazrat's bayan. Is it necessary or not? And so much he thought that the train also went away. And on the train was his wife also and his goods also. And in India, they still till today, they got a separate one compartment for ladies. So his wife was sitting with the ladies in that. He was sitting with the men with his goods. Now the train is gone. He's in his thoughts that should I buy it? Can I do without it? If I don't buy it, there won't be any harm in that the train left already. So now he had a problem. The next train station, Shadra, his wife had to get off there. So the ladies told, your husband is not here. How are you going to go alone? We are going, you join us. And that was her mother's town also. You come home with us. So they took her and she went away with them. Next station, all those men were getting off. What all he and his goods, so they say if we leave the goods on the train, somebody will steal it. So let us take it, we will try and somehow get it back to him. They got off with the goods. He came now to the network, somehow the other bus, whatever, he came to Shadra, the next town. Now he's looking for his wife everywhere. How a lot of difficulty he had in tracing where his wife is. Then we went to the next town, now he's looking for his goods. And those people who had his goods, they had too much goods with them. And on train also, like on the plane, certain amount, 22 kilos, 20, what you allow, train also certain amount. They had over the limit goods. So they weren't allowing them. So they stole, this is our friend's goods. So they became doubtful, the authorities, that this the people stole it. So they put them in jail with the goods. And he had to now trace them all. Finally, he found them, and now then when he explained, yes, it's true, this was the story, they released everything. So Hazrat then, Mona Than, we say, all because he did not understand my bayan. And he put the whole blame on me, that I told you must think. Now, I didn't say you must think till Qiyamah's day. Reasonably you think. So when your food comes also, I'm saying, think of Allah. Now you're not eating, everyone is eating, the guests are eating. Your wife is saying, what's wrong with you? Why? No, I'm thinking. And now you've gone to Pakistan and you're plowing the ground there and you're getting the tractor from around the world. You won't finish till when? When you're going to eat? So briefly, but keep it in your mind. Any ni'mat of Allah. You sit in your car, think, who gave me this car? I'm going to travel now so comfortable. It's winter, you put on the heater, now you are comfortable. It's summer, you put on the AC. Think about that. Who gave all this? We just go to the petrol filling station, we fill petrol. How much we want to, we fill petrol. Think about if there was a strike, that they are not delivering the petrol. And and in some countries we saw with our eyes, 3-4 kilometer queues to get your 1 liter of petrol, 5 liters of petrol. And in that, people from 1 o'clock, from the night, they are queuing the whole night. Yeah, Allah made it so easy. You can't imagine, nobody will ever be able to even ever think what ni'mat's in one ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا, if you count, and it's a plural, if all of you, from Adam alayhi salam's time till the day of Qiyamah, all the people of the world, the great philosophers, the great professors, whoever, all of them think, if you want to count, enumerate, ni'mat Allah, one ni'mat of Allah. لَن تُحْصُوهَا. You won't be able to count one, and one you don't count. One is one. If it's 5, 6, you say count how many are there. One you don't count is one, it's finished. But in one ni'mat of Allah, there are so many ni'mat that my people's mind will never ever be able to. So in food you can gain the ma'rifat of Allah. So when we sit down to food, eat, whether it's simple food, and today our 8-course meals, 10-course meals, all that we have, everything, how lot, or you should think of everything, the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. We have our tea. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar ul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, chai peete ho, chai ke char sabak seekho. That you drink tea, take the 4 lessons of tea. What are the 4 lessons? That this tea first was just plain water. Water, the name was water. Water's price free, people will give water free to one another. The effect of water, it cools you down. And the color of water, clear, no color, it's clear, you can see through. But the same water, now think about all this also, it just stayed in the company, the sohbat of the tea leaves for 2-3 minutes, and now the color has changed. It became black now. Now the name has changed, tea now. No more water. Now the price has changed. Now cup of tea, you'll pay 10 rand at Wumpy. 15 rand you will pay. You won't get it free now. And the effect of the tea, it lifts you up. But on condition that that water is hot, boiling water. If you put the tea leaves in cold water, nothing will happen. It has to be hot, boiling water. From there we understand that a person who keeps company with his sheikh must be a hot connection. If you keep a cold connection, nothing is going to happen. Many people become bay'at, bay'at jate hai. They be after bay'at, they just set no contact, no letter writing, no phone, no coming to majlis. Well, we just became bay'at, that nothing is going to happen. It must be a hot contact. One friend of ours in Mayotte, he came, alim, and I asked him that, what call it, you became bay'at? Yes. Many years ago, what who you became? He said, I can't remember now. Was it a Saharanpuri or a Muradabadi? So if you ask a wife, who's your husband? She say, I got married, I don't know how long, I don't know who's my husband. Whether he, who is my husband, I don't know. What can you get from such a relationship? Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, the husband is in Delhi and the wife is in Bombay. All night, tahajjud, they are making duas, give us children. Where are you going to get children? But if they meet, and even just 1 minute, a nice proper meeting, they can get results in 9 months. One person who was very informal with Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali always told Hazrat, dua karo ke aulad ho, ke make dua, I have children. Then after some time Hazrat said, main kitni dua kar raha hu, meri dua kaisi qabool nahi ho rahi. I'm making, why is my dua not getting accepted? Then the khadims, attendants of Hazrat told Hazrat, iske abhi shadi bhi nahi hui, that he hasn't got married. And of course this was in that zamana, that without marriage you can't get aulad. This zamana everything happens. So hot connection with your sheikh, then you can get results. The other is that that water was clear water, you could see through it. But now when he came in the company of the sheikh, it became black. The water became black. What is the explanation of that? That before you become bay'at, before you are concerned of your islah, then what do you think? That you just did 2 rakats of namaz, I'm the shibli of the time. Just little one, as Maulana said, one ugly woman came, you lowered your gaze, I'm the Rumi of the time. How the taqwa I got. Just little bit, but when you come in the company of your sheikh, you realize, my ikhlas is still not right. My istinja is still not right. Now you realize, I thought I'm clear like water, I'm a very big buzur. Now I realize how much I, how far I have to go. And truly, a person who comes with that will realize that really I've got a long way to go. Because now the sheikh will make effort and correct your ibadat. And then the milk will come. Now whiteness has come. Then he will correct your akhlaq, your character. And that is, he'll put the sugar. But just putting the sugar is not enough. You have to stir it. And you can't stir it with a straw or a stick. You need a spoon. And when you stir it with a spoon, then you will get that sounds coming also, as the spoon hits against the glass. This is like the panel beater, your car came in an accident, and he is panel beating it, hitting it, and reconditioning it again. He makes your car look like new. And you get Japanese reconditioned cars, how they look like brand new cars. This is not Japanese recondition, it's not the sheikh's recondition, Allah reconditioned. No matter what, and mashallah, how many people are saying, writing, they are writing, who are here, who are outside, how that they are benefiting, and they say, we are becoming reconditioned now. And you're becoming Allah reconditioned now. And then, now the tea, in Urdu we say, lapsos, nice hot tea. Labdos, and nice sweet tea. And labrez, full cup of tea. And one more thing, harroz. Every day such tea you must have. Then you are now, if a person who goes through this process will become Hardil Aziz, everyone will love him. And everyone will explain their love for such a person also. So they take these lessons from the tea. And that you will become beloved to everyone and they will show you their love. The wife also. Otherwise, the wife is the last person to praise you. Otherwise, she will humiliate you. Manana? She will insult you. How she will treat you. But if you go through this process, she will even praise you. Otherwise, a wife praises her husband only two times. One is before marriage. She tells all her friends, you know who I'm marrying? He's like this. He's a Maulana. He's a Hafiz. He's a Qari. How Lord, she praises him. And the other is after death. In between, you must forget that your wife will praise you. She will just find fault with you all the time. From the time you step in the house till you go and sleep, when you get up again, there's fault finding the whole day. So that is the condition. But after you die, my one auntie, Allah give them Jannat, she was old, about 80 years, and she phoned, and this may be about 10, 15 years ago, and she said, your uncle is troubling me too much, he's giving me a lot of problems and that. So I said, we are small children, small fries, big people, we look up to them for guidance. What are we going to? But she kept on phoning. Then I went with Appa, and her list was not ending. Your uncle does this, he does this, he's like, whole lot. So what we could do is console her, we'll try and speak to uncle, we'll try and make dua, etc. After 2 months, my uncle passed away. So we went again for Taziyat. When we went, she told me, you know what, Abdul Hamid, your uncle, 60 years I was married to him. Not one day he even gave me so much trouble. Just now, just 2 months ago, the list was not coming. She said, not one day he even gave me. So after you die, she'll praise you. But I assure you, if you go through this process, you will see that she will also, a woman loves her husband. And they do. They go out of, but they don't express it. They keep it in them. Man, he does all funny things, but he talks a lot. I love you so much, as you are this and you are that. He lies also so much. But that is a man. But a woman, but if you go through this process, she will even express her love. And I can assure you that you'll have the enjoyment more than of the hurul in here in this world already. If we go, so this food that we eat, we can get great marifat of everything that we eat. So we should take these great, great lessons when we have food. And we should also, during the meals, we have a good friend, Qari Yaqub Saab, in Dubai. He's the Imam of Masjid Ghurair. Our family also, distant family. And mashallah, he hosts the ulama who come for collection. He's got big boards because according to law, no collectors are allowed. So he's got written, no collectors are allowed. But all just go there. And he himself prepares food for them. On a Friday, up to 70, 80 people, and I saw with my eyes, himself with his own hands, he cooks the food. Not he gets it from a hotel or somebody else cooks it. He's got his lungi on, no vest. And Friday morning he's busy cooking. And very nice, delicious food. So we were speaking. So he told me, I also see the same thing. The collectors who come are all from the Darul Uloom. Some are the principals of Darul Uloom. Collectors, maulanas, not one read Bismillah, he said. And during eating, nobody, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And he says, I tell them, if you people don't like my food, then read La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. But read something. You're not reading anything, not even Allahumma laka, or just Alhamdulillah. And after eating, if you don't want to read the whole dua, one close family member, one each day we were eating, after eating, he rubbed his big nice stomach, shukr Alhamdulillah. But make shukr, even if you do that. But make shukr to Allah. We don't make no shukr. Hey, after eating the dua, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana wa saqana, how happy Allah Ta'ala gets when we make that dua. And Allah is very pleased with that banda. That means when Allah is pleased with you, what more you want? That Allah is pleased when you eat, Alhamdulillah. And just keep in mind briefly all this thing. This Allahu Akbar. Allah sends down water, rain, colorless, tasteless, no smell in it. And it falls on ground on which we walk. We spit on the ground. We urinate on the ground. Everything. But with that water falling on this ground, فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ ثَمَرَاتَ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. We take out different types of fruit for your rosy. Just imagine with that same water, same ground, pineapple Allah Ta'ala took out. And variety of pineapples. Allah took out mangoes, and what a variety of mangoes. Grapes, and a variety of grapes, bananas, variety of bananas. What and what Allah Ta'ala. So what is the qudrat of Allah? When you're eating, you are having fruit salad. Right? One person, he was from India, he came here and he was selling fruit on the pavement. So the shopkeeper didn't like the idea that on his, in front of his shop, he's selling all other goods here and there. So he came and he threw it, and he was selling fruit, so much fruit, this apple so much, oranges so much. So the shopkeeper came and he threw it all on the road. Trucks and buses went over it. He went, he collected it all again, and he said, fruit salad. He was selling fruit salad now. So anyway, all that fruit also, just think the apple from where, how many people work the whole apple farm. And then the oranges, the bananas, and then we put little ice cream in there, we put little cream, hardly a little do we think how Allah is working to serve us. And with that strength we get, we don't use it in the obedience of Allah. And we make nashukri. We still find fault in that food also. The best of food Allah gives us, we still find fault. How much do we eat? Fadhkuruni washkuruni. Make my shukr. But your tongue also makes shukr. They make shukr to the wife also. Who of us ever thank the wife? She cooks for us, she keeps everything, and she looks at our nature, our temperament. You like your tea at the beginning, she's got your tea there. You like it in the middle of, she will get up. We will be lazy to pick up one spoon, but she'll jump up and go and bring the tea for us. She will want this, she'll do that. One time, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmi, what a great buzurg he was. A doctor, but company of Ahlullah, and these things coming into one's life, he became like a big maulana. He was invited by somebody for meals, one of his murids. After eating from Parda, he thanked the house lady, Jazakallah, very nice food, I appreciate it. It was very tasty, may Allah, he gave a dua, he went, but she started crying profusely. So husband asked her, why are you crying? Maulana didn't insult you, he didn't shout you, he praised you, he gave you duas. She said, I'm crying because 40 years I'm cooking for you, not one day you told me Jazakallah. And we should think also, did we ever tell our wives, Jazakallah, that she cooked for us? She goes out of her way, she thinks, what menu, what will my husband like? What must I cook? We don't say Jazakallah. So he learned his lesson. So the next day, when they were eating, so he started Jazakallah, very nice food, appreciate it. Again she started crying. And remember also with them is a no-win situation. No matter what you do, you can't win. And they say the same about us. This man, we can't please them. You try all your ways to please him, but he doesn't get happy. So anyway, she asked, why are you crying now? She said, 40 years I'm cooking for you. Not one day you told me Jazakallah. Today when the neighbor's wife sends the food, you can't stop. You're just going on and on praising the food all the time. So anyway, but to thank the wife. Allah reward our brother Shaheen from Marlboro. This duas that Allah gave me tawfiq, I give to my wife. So his wife made a nice card. Try and get those cards. Or whatever comes in your heart, but appreciate. Give your wife duas. How much do they go? For that meal, if you have to go and eat in a hotel, how much you should pay? And what is the quality of that food? Where all non-Muslims' eyes fell on that food. What is, your Muslim wife. And those people, how many cases? Once an article came, South African Airways, whose cuisine, the food, is regarded one of the best in the world. Feces was found, stool was found in the food. So I phoned one travel agent that I usually used to associate with those days. So he told me, because of the altitude. Poor Maulana, what Maulana knows about altitude and what it means? So he hamjawad me like that. Okay, because of that. But what was it? These people, where they were cooking in the kitchens, etc. They go to toilet, they don't wash their hands. Enough instructions are written. There are cameras, there are people, inspectors. But still, it's not control. When they can't control their things, their hygiene standards, where are they going to control our halal standards? They can't control their own hygiene standards. And when you go to the toilet with their hands like that, they come and they cook. And this comes, and the prince of Kuwait or somewhere, he traveled from Kuwait to America, and when he landed, he put straight away ICU. Then he died. When they did a whole post-mortem, there was feces in his food, in the aeroplane. So all this here is happening all the time. How much mustn't a person be careful? So all that food, we go and pay so much for it. And your housewife, your wife, sometimes one of her hair come in the food. You make a big issue about it. Whole night you sleep in a hair and you say I'm sleeping like in Jannah. Then you got no problem. But one hair came by mistake in the food, and this food, yeah, not only hair, what feces and I don't know, stool and urine and what must be coming in the food. So the food is also a great ni'mat of Allah, and it's a command of Allah, kulu washrabu, eat and drink, but of halal and tayyiba. Make sure, make our effort as best as we can in these difficult times where things are so out of hand. Try and do the best what we can. Be careful. Don't just go wild with anything. Food has got a great effect, and by just eating, wallah, you can become a great wali of Allah. A person who has got ma'rifat, a person who eats and he thinks Allah's ni'mat, and in his heart, not only by the tongue you are talking, even if you're not talking, Ya Allah, who does for me? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that today we are such that before we eat, we must make tawbah. Like a mother, the child, 2-year-old child, he took the paraffin and he threw it into the flour. And he took the turpentine and he threw it into the rice. He was doing all these things. And when he's hungry, Amma, food, Amma, food, he demands the food. Amma will give him one slap. All this mess you made, I have to clean this mess for. We are like that. How disobedient of Allah. And mealtime, food, I want the best. First we have to make tawbah before that food even becomes, so to say, halal for us. We have to make so much of tawbah. So just on food, we can become the great walis of Allah. If we learn to keep roza of the stomach also, our food consumption be correct, eat it in the right way also. And then inshaAllah, see your life, if you're eating the right food, that is all your medicine you need. The fruit is the best medicine you can have. But if we have it correctly. So may Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Try and read the kitab, Kitabu Ta'am. There are many other health hints also which are mentioned in there. Try and follow it. We will see goodness will come.